You're tuning in to Conversational Currency, Maryland's top small business talk show, hosted by Shandy DeLaser.
Welcome to Conversational Currency. We are Maryland's top small business talk show. I'm your host, Shandy DeLaser. Ladies and gentlemen, communication is a superpower, and Conversational Currency examines the value and importance of social skills for business in a digital era, told through the lens, the stories of today's business and thought leaders. Now, through the story of our guests, as well as current events, we will answer the question, if you were able to say the right words in the right moments to every man or woman in a business setting, how different would the quality of your life be? Success starts with seizing opportunities, and right now is your chance to grab your digital assets execution plan. This is your step-by-step guide to package your skills and escape the time for money trap leveraging digital assets. Your next step is to browse MrShadi.com/assets and claim your free execution plan.
Welcome to Conversations with Experts, where we explore strategies to improve your business and life.
On today's Conversational Currency exclusive, we will dive into the secrets of relationship building. We will learn how relationships lead to increased revenue in your business, and we will learn the power of follow-up. Now, I had to go across the globe and search far and wide to find the top expert, the best person in this moment to discuss this valuable and relevant topic. I had to climb to the highest mountain and go to the depths of the seas to find my guest. He is the founder of the Networking Institute. He is Basil Lemba. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you very much for having me. And also for that kind of introduction. Very much appreciated.
Yes. Now, every superhero has a background story. And since your superpower is relationships and understanding how relationships impact the business, where were your earliest examples of relationship building, and when did you realize that this was so important in your journey?
Thanks again, Shadi. There is not a spot for me when I realize it's something that grows, it grew to the degree into me. I'm originally from Africa. I left when I was 14. I went to France, lived there for 10 years, moved then here in the U.S., living in Florida for 10 years, and then moved to Northern Virginia. So I have been traveling, and I travel different parts of the world. So I have been traveling, and I learned along the way. Relationships are important, naturally, because every time you arrive in an area, if you don't get along with people, you may not survive. So you may not do well. In my case, as a milestone, I can give you a couple of milestones. One of them was when I was about 12 years old. I was in a boarding school. I was coming for Christmas, Easter, back to my family, Christmas, Easter, and then summer. And I remember one Christmas time where I vividly had the picture of that day in mind. I was balancing right out there, and I'm looking at my mom, and I stopped and I told her, there are two kids in the school. They did this to me. And I said, when I go back, I never get to finish the sentence. She stopped me on my track. She asked me, what period of time are we at? I said, the end of the year. And she asked me, don't you think that it should start new? That was shocking because I was expecting her to be on my side. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to go and do something. But she told me something that was a dramatic lesson in itself from the very beginning when I was 12 years old. To what degree that impacted my life, not only can tell. So I went to France, and then I went to Florida, and then I came to Virginia. In Virginia, I decided to start my own business. But I did not know anybody. So I had to go to all the different, I joined the Chamber of Commerce, and I started meeting people, because if you have a product, we got to have people to whom to present it. So I joined the Chamber, and from there I get to visit all the different events. I was invited, but I was not very happy. I'll go and come and say, I don't know. Something. I couldn't even put my finger on what it was. And one day somebody came to me. He said, there's a luncheon over there. There's 150 people. And I was excited. I thought to myself, I got 150 people. I'm going to get at least 30 to 40 business cards out of that. Then I'll have people to present my product to. So I went, Shadi. By the way, it was $150. That was over 15 years ago. $150. I went. The place was jam-packed. You sat down, they served lunch, the speaker came, he spoke, 2 o'clock came, people started rushing out. I'm like, what about 3 minutes later, Shadi, the room was empty and I went. Then I realized one of the things that was bugging me is because sometimes those events were put together, but they never thought about the guests. Or what would happen to the guests? You have the guy that put on an event, $150 a pop, the place was jam-packed. So I had a good day. But for me, it was totally completely miserable. Then I decided to go to business people like you. I said, Shadi, when you go to an event, what do you want to see happening? I wrote that down. What is that you don't want? I wrote that down. So I took the things they wanted and created a breakfast. Just so they have a place where they can go and come out and say, you know what? I didn't. It grew so rapidly that I've been doing it for 7 years. The other thing I did, because people are coming, I started putting together some information for them so they can be successful at it. So I did do that, and I started sharing the information with them. And one day at a breakfast event, after one of those breakfast events, a lady came to me. She told me, I need to talk to you. That is, I've been doing it for over 10 years. Nobody, at the end, you see them, everybody's happy and everything else. The first time ever, she said, I need to talk to you. Call me this afternoon. I went over that event at least 20 times in my mind. Did I look at her the wrong way? Did I say anything? The pressure was so much that at 3 o'clock, I picked up the phone and called her. She was screaming. She told me, do you know how many events I've been to? Do you know how much money I spend out there? But nobody even told me how to network. Then I understood that the package of information that we put together were helpful to her. And from there, I wrote a book and started giving classes. Mm-hmm. So that's my story.
That's a powerful, powerful story. Now, you've been connecting with people and leading organizations that help people connect with others for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I'm certain that there are certain characteristics mm-hmm. that a person who builds great relationships tend to have. I'll give an example. Former President Bill Clinton was known to have a photographic memory. If you were to meet him in a room full of 500 people, he can remember your name and everyone else's name in the room and can see you years later and pull up that information, what you've done, where you've been, and that is his superpower. So when you start to think about your journey and some people who had a great relationship building skills, what would you say are some characteristics of an individual who builds great relationships?
That's a very, very good question. In my story, that what I told you in a minute, there was an incident that I did not share with you. Hmm. And that is that some 5 years ago, it snowed very much here where I live. And we were told, unless you are an MD, unless you are a nurse, stay in your home. So I said, you can only work so much that at one point you want to do something. So I turned on the television, and there was a program on royalty. On come a reporter, and he said, there are two things that royalty, before they give them the milk, before they call, before they go to school, they teach them these 2 things. He mentioned number one, and he mentioned number two. I couldn't get that out of my mind. I was thinking, what is this? How are they important? What does that mean? What is that mean? Then I said, oh my God, these are the cardinal rules of networking. We have had events for over a decade. We invite people like you to come and talk at breakfast. We have accountant, we have marketing, social media, but we never talk about networking then, about networking in itself. So I decide then to put together a presentation on networking. And as part of that presentation, I went and looked up the definition of networking in the dictionary. And then I found the definition wasn't correct. Now, it was a major realization because for over a decade, I told you I've been teaching, sharing the information. People kept coming to me and said, you need to write a book on networking. You need to make a course on networking. And I was like, excuse me. Well, think about it. I'm coming from Africa. I live in Europe. I land over here. When I go to the bookstore, I see books wall to wall on networking. I go to the library. I see books wall to wall on networking. I look at all over the place, networking event. I was the last to think that there was something missing. But I realized also that day, those people never came to me and said, you need to write a book on how to drive a car. Why? Because they know how to drive a car. But if they kept asking about a book on networking, something was missing. It was then I took that information, worked out a proper definition, the people, and then start teaching. Now, the cardinal rules of networking, for those who are listening, are these. One, be interested. Always put the personal interest last. I give that to you again. One, be interested. Two, always put the personal interest last. These are the kingpin data at the top of the networking pyramid. Once you understand it, you shed the lights on everything else. It is from that, those two pieces of information that are able to formulate a correct definition of networking, the purpose of it, and the know-how. They are the fundamentals of fundamentals of networking. It led to what? It led to the definition of networking. But more importantly, for those who are listening, it led to what I call, described in my book, the business development cycle. And it goes networking, one, two, promotion, and three, sales. Again, one, networking, two, promotion, and three, sales. Now, this is what happened in the real world. Somebody told me they went at the Chamber of Commerce event, and they was asked, who's here to sell something? All the hands went up. Who's here to buy something? All the hands went down. Shadid, mind you, there was a networking event. All right. Now, you go out there, like, just like you go, we meet a networking event. The thing we are told to do is deliver a speech. Have you deliver a speech? Have it, be ready to do it, be ready to do it rapidly. We talk about that a lot, which is okay. But if you look at this, the development cycle I talked to you about, you will realize that deliver a speech come under promotion. So then what's happened out there, we have sales taking place, promotion taking place, and networking has been left alone. The IRS report, only 6% of the business in the United States make over $100,000. If you think about it, if I bring a customer to you or anybody listening today, a lawyer, take a customer to them, they can handle it. Bring a plumber, give him a house to fix, they can fix it. The problem of business people is not the delivery, more often than not. But it is, how do I get people in? That is the biggest challenge. From mom and pop, to Microsoft, because we work with Microsoft as well. So if the IRS says only 6% make it, and we realize people over here, if you bring a customer to them, they can handle it, that tells you it's clogged at the entrance point. The right customer is not getting through. So if you sort out networking then as a piece, then you move to promotion and then you move to sales. But the key is networking. And he has never, what I bring, business people will ask, do you drive a car? They say yes. How do you learn how to drive? Oh, number one, I went to driving school. Number two, somebody taught me. Number three, all of the above. Very good. Do you network or attempt to network? Oh, yes. How do you learn how to network? Number one, I just walked into the room. Number two, somebody pushed me into the room. That was the totality of their training. But that is the deal most of us got when it comes to networking. So by sorting it out now, we bring people to a point where they can network as easily as they drive a car. Now we unlock the entrance point. Now it can flow right in the cell. It becomes easier. The stress goes down, production goes up. So that's what we do.
Okay. There's a question that you may not have been asked before. Let's say when I lived in Japan once upon a time, one aspect was actually two aspects of Japanese culture that related to business. One is hard work. The other is quality and attention to detail. With African culture, there's many lessons when it comes to family, when it comes to work, when it comes to traditions, when it comes to honor, that are valuable relationship building and networking lessons. Based on your experience, your being a holder of African culture, what would you say are some lessons that our audience can learn from African culture as it relates to building quality relationships?
That's an excellent question. And as I say, my material pulls really in on all of them. I would say in Africa, I learned how people come together easily. And by that, there's the difference. It's just a cultural thing. And I'll say it as it is. In the Western world, most people, when they make a move, they thought of what they're going to get out of that move. I live from more than 35 years in Western world. That's all it is. In Africa, they still have that culture where somebody does something just to do it. Not because they expect something out of it. Not all the time, naturally, but that's still in the culture. The reason Africa survived, in spite of all the everything that happened, is because there's still that solidarity coming together. And to network well, successfully, you need to get yourself into that space where you do, without necessarily expecting something. Just like a farmer, when a farmer goes and put a seed down, he doesn't put a cross there and come back and say, hey, I put a seed over here, you got to get something. No. He just sow, he just put the seed, and then he knows what's going to happen. He doesn't put it here and then say, you better give me. So that's the highest level. When you move into the highest level of teaching or like mastermind, networking becomes a lifestyle. And I truly believe if you want to go further and get to reap all the benefits of networking, you have to reach that level where you give to give, you help to help with no agenda whatsoever. We say what goes around comes around. Here we say it sounds good. How many of us really live it or feel it within ourselves? And to me, it's actually the barrier to the game of business. I'll give an example. A lady having in Canada, she has a lot of trouble with her business and this, that, everything. We're talking on the phone. She said, I don't know how to arrange myself. I said, I don't have time right now, but if you want 2 weeks from now, give me a call. I spend an hour with you. Help you out to organize your business, organize your time management. So she called me and I gave her some tips, some good 45 minutes. And at the end of the conversation, she told me, when is your next event? I want to promote it. I did not tell her, I did not do that to get her promoting my event. But I just went to help her. She asked if I'm going to help her. There was no agenda. I'm just explaining how I see the game being played. I took 45 minutes to help her with the business, manage the time to do this. That's what I teach in my higher level. It's just easier, really, as I say. Pressure, and if between even in a family, in a social level, in a business, the stress goes down, production goes up. If we can implement that one thing, start operating on, you see somebody having a need, you help them. Or you see somebody helping, like you do, you have that spirit. You help people here and there. It gets easier for you as a person. It really changed the game. And people, your influence increased dramatically. People want to deal with you and what have you, because none of us, no human being is comfortable if you're giving them a thing because you already calculated that you're going to get them over there to give it back to you. I'm not telling people what to do. I'm just saying from my experience, what I learned along the way, solidarity, helping for the sake of help, change your life dramatically.
Very, very powerful insight. So when we talk about the business context of relationship building, we oftentimes have the expectation that relationships must lead to revenue, or it must be a high ROI relationship or activity. And so what would you say from your perspective or methodology is the best way to start to think about generating revenue through relationships? For someone who is completely new to this topic, what can you share with them?
I'll share with him what I mentioned, interest. When we think of follow-up, most people think, I talk to you now, Shadi. No, the follow-up starts before I see you, before I meet you. Yes. The moment I lay eyes on you, that's where the follow-up starts. I.e., how do I act with you? How do I talk to you and what have you? Why? Remember, I did not mention that. But the purpose of networking is to create acceptance. No more, no less. You want to create acceptance. Because if you just walk to me and try to tell me, you do this, you do that, do I care? I don't. So it behooves you to create acceptance first. Once you've done that, then I want to know. Then you can promote to myself what you do. You follow me?
Yes.
And then from there, if I'm interested in your product, I can buy it. But it's not even so much important that I buy it. The most important thing for you is to create acceptance, because in case I do not take your product, I will happily take you to my tribe. As we say in networking, the person in front of you is a tree. Behind him, there is a forest.
Mm.
So as a good networker or somebody in business development, you're looking at the forest. Don't harp on him. Many people make that mistake, harping on the guy in front of him. No, create acceptance. He may or may not, but no biggie. But if you create acceptance, he's going to take you to the track. And if they know 3,000 people, you think that you're going to find somebody there? Absolutely. But it behooves you at the very beginning to do your job well. So if you create that acceptance, now the person is ready to build a relationship. Now the person is willing to answer your phone call. Now the person is willing to respond to your email. Now we can talk follow up. If you didn't do it before, or you just talked to him and then someone called him, most people, the follow up networking is very bad because people did not grasp that concept. You go to an event, for example, when they were in person, you see all these business cards flying around, the follow up is only 4%. Because people never grasp really the name of the game. Now, I want to give an example of what I mean by create acceptance. I could go to a networking event and meet you, Shadid, and talk to you, ask you what you're doing, and think about how I can help you and what have you. And at the end, I say, can I have your card, sir? I take your card and I leave. I don't tell you my name. I don't tell you what I do. Okay? If I tell somebody, I went to an event, I met the guy, here's card named Shadid, but I did not tell him what I do or my name. People go, they don't understand. The name of the game is to create acceptance. If I treat you well, respect you, polite, follow, then I pick up the phone and say, hey, Shadid. And I say, hey, Shadid, can you give me 3 or 5 minutes of your time so I can tell you also what I do? What are you going to say? You're going to say yes.
Yes.
At which point in time now I can do the promotion part, which is to tell you all about me or what I do. That you buy or not, I'm not even pressuring you. That you buy or not, it's okay. Because I did my job well. I'll tell you, is there anybody who can use it? You happily take me to them. So it goes 1, 2, 3. That has never been understood. That's never been clarified. That's the getting back to the feeling when I, because they would jump on me or whatever, or it was just a mismatch. It was never, but it makes sense. Chamber of Commerce, who is here to sell? Basically, what's happening, they are selling overtly or covertly. It's not that they mind to do anything bad. It's that they don't know. They have never been taught how the game is being played. Why? Because they were coming to me, telling me to ask me for a book. Nobody ever broke it down for them.
It's extremely, extremely valuable insight. Now, we talk about relationships and reciprocity. Let me share an insight that I've noticed with joint venture partners, for example. When I first started to join joint venture partnership communities, I put myself first, meaning I did not promote my own products for the first 3 years that I was a part of joint venture community. So I would listen, promote, so on and so forth. and I'm not promote my own products and services. I noticed once I begin to discuss my own mission in my own products and services, that people were willing to come to the forefront and promote what I had going on. And I was able to build deeper relationships with people. So instead of just saying, okay, how can I help you? I also say, this is my mission. This is what is going on. Can you please share, or what is your take on having something, let's say a mission, values that you bring to the table in terms of making a networking connection? If you're just a person who is, how can I help you, but you don't share details about yourself, how that can lead to being more mysterious versus this is what I do, this is my mission, this is who I serve, and that being easier to connect with, because so many people are unclear about their mission or what they actually do.
You're absolutely right. I always say that at the beginning of any business, you have to know the why. Don't just get in business to get in business. Try to find your why and find it and start moving on. One of the reasons is because there's so much challenges and barriers and difficulties in business. What gets you through is your why. If you don't have the why, you're going to get discouraged later. Now, it has to be a two-way street. I think I know JP says it a lot in JVology. JV is go, you go first, you go first. So that's right. It's right. You want to go first. But you also want to make sure, as you put it in properly, that you educate the other person. I say educate because they may not understand it's a two-way street. They'll sit there and tell you all about themselves. In my class, for example, one of the exercises I do is I send my students to go and show interest to other people. And they are not to say anything, talk about themselves or their business. And they, some come back, they're very disappointed. Why did you not ask me about what I do? Because they're not educated. You get what I'm saying? It's not, they just don't know.
Yes.
But it's a two-way street. If we're talking about joint venture, you get something, I get something. So therefore, it should be, you tell me what you do for a specific time. And there is a time where I tell you what I do. And then we see how we can work together. And I, when you move into the JV, you want to make that rule or clarify it for the very beginning. We're having an hour meeting. They say, I want to hear, this is what I suggest. Always give them the chance to talk to you first. Try not to go first. If they insist, yes. But in my case, when I get on the phone, I want to know more for them because the target has to be in view before you shoot. I need to know where they are. So when I'm talking, I'm more feeding in, as opposed to me just telling them anything or anything. So I need to know. That's the strategy. Let them talk to you first. And then when you start talking, you can hit the element that fits the need or that fit the situation or whatever. That will help them see how you come together or how you can work together. I always manage to get them first. If they insist, I'll go first, but I don't want to because I don't know which way to go. Give me something to work with. I need you to give me something to work with when I'm speaking, and then I know which way I'm going or which way to go. So always make it a rule. If they don't know, particularly to the newbies, see, this is what would be the most productive. Tell me what you do for 20 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever it is, recommended 20. And I will take 20 minutes and tell you what I do. And then we'll see how we can create a synergy. That's how I'll go about.
Very, very important insight. Now, you have a complimentary assessment on business development. Can you please tell us what our audience can expect when they take the next step?
Yeah, I highly recommend that. They say to get somewhere, you got to know where you are at. Like when you go into a mall you have never been, you want to go to the store, there's a map that says you are here. And you want to get here, this is where you go. Same thing when it comes to business development. I design the assessment so you can, it's a short one, take you less than a minute or two. So you fill it out. Then when I get it, what I do is I give you a phone call to clarify, get a little bit of understanding what it is, and I give you an evaluation. So that's what I offer to people because it's just really a matter of you need to know where you are, what are your strengths, and what are the things that you want to work on. And then from there, you can move on.
Now, the complimentary assessment on business development will be available within the show notes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, relationships are the foundation of business success, professional success, and we're often not taught this in the school system, but it is the fundamental keys to success throughout life. Relationships are a powerful asset and a powerful form of revenue that you need to pay more attention to. Now, through the story of Bazil, you've learned not only his personal journey, but a wide range of tips in depth on how to build relationships, how to present yourself and to nurture relationships so that you can be more successful day in and day out within business.
May I add something to that, Sharif?
Yes.
You're totally completely right. The definition of society is human being and their relationships. Whichever way you spin it, is human being and their relationships. And networking sits squarely on top of that. So if you improve somebody's networking skills, you flipped the entire society. How do I know? How do I know? When I first wrote the first draft of my book, I asked myself, how do I know that it works? Anybody can write any theory, right? So I round up some business people and I give them the class on the principles of the book. At the end, I asked them for their feedback. And the feedback was, this is life changing. It's changing my life. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not trying to change your life. I'm trying to teach you how to get business. Then I realized I was looking at it through the lens of business. For them, it was changing their life 180 degrees. So to your point, relationship, I was thinking business. They were seeing how it can change the relationship, the family, the society, the community, and on and on and on and on and on and on. But I was looking at it through business. So it cannot be said enough. Really, the quality, I used to say that, man, the quality of your life is proportional to the quality of your relationships.
Very true. Very powerful. Very powerful. On behalf of Bazil, I'm Shad Didi Laser. You've been tuning into Conversational Currency, where we examine the value and importance of social skills for business in the digital era. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us. And for that, we appreciate you. We thank you for tuning in.
Absolutely.
Thank you for tuning in to Conversational Currency, Maryland's top small business talk show.